Good evening and welcome to Left, Right and Centre. I'm Vishnu Shom. We'll begin with a huge NDTV exclusive. The US government has refused to answer specific queries on the loss of Pakistan Air Force operated F-16 fighters during Op Sindoor in May. In a statement to NDTV, the US State Department has said, "We refer you to the government of Pakistan to discuss its F-16s. Now that quite obviously is not going to bring us any answers. Now, the US statement is a surprise and comes despite the fact that Washington has full knowledge of the status of Pakistan-operated F-16s through US contractors known as technical support teams. These technical support teams are deployed in Pakistan 24/7 to monitor the use of Pakistan's US-built F-16s and are contractually obliged to be fully aware of the status of all of Pakistan's F-16 jets at all times." The US State Department statement to NDTV contrasts starkly with information on Pakistan-operated F-16s, which US government sources had provided in 2019 when they denied that the PAF, the Pakistan Air Force, had lost any F-16s following India's Balakot strikes. Back in 2019, they had said that none were lost. In 2025, they're saying, go ask Pakistan. But all of this is happening now because of remarks made by the Indian Air Force Chief, Air Chief Marshal A.P. Singh, over the weekend, where he made it clear that India is certain, the Air Force is certain, that Pakistan has lost F-16s on the ground, possibly in the air as well. But let's take a look at this image, because this really does tell the story of what the Indian Air Force Chief was referring to. This is an image from the 11th of May, 2025. He has referred to the Jacobabad hangar. This is an F-16 hangar. He's spoken about that. You listen to the Air Force Chief in just a little while. It is believed that there were F-16s in this, some under maintenance, and these were destroyed. But let's bring up the next satellite image up on the screen and also have images and video of the F-16s of the Pakistanis. Now, this is important because this is a before and after image. This image from the 30th of April, 2025. These were, in fact, broadcast first on NDTV. You can see that that hangar is not destroyed. But on the 11th of May, in the next image, that's been hit probably by a BrahMos missile and a Scalp missile. As this is where the Indian Air Force believes, the IAF chief says that he's certain that there were F-16s over here. But he's also made important remarks about India knocking out five fighter aircraft of the Pakistan Air Force in the air. Let's have video of Pakistani F-16s as well. Now, the Indian Air Force chief said, in fact, six aircraft in total were lost. Five of them were fighter jets. One of them was a larger aircraft, an electronic intelligence platform, or perhaps an airborne warning and control systems aircraft. This is an F-16 of the Pakistan Air Force. They've got approximately 74 to 75 of these aircraft in service. If there has been a loss of these aircraft at this stage, it would be a huge loss for the Pakistan Air Force, which depends very heavily on this. The US decision not to provide NDTV with this information, which they have because they monitor Pakistan's F-16s on a regular basis, is a surprise at one level. At another level, it could be to protect the domestic industry. There have been very few losses of F-16s in combat. This is a platform which has been deployed very heavily in the Iraq war, in Serbia, Montenegro, more recently in Ukraine. It's been used extensively by the US Air Force and its allies. The number of F-16s which have actually been lost, including by the Israel Air Force, are absolutely minimal, which is why if there is a substantial loss of this still state-of-the-art platform, it would be bad news for their defense industry, the manufacturers of the jet as well. But clarity on something as important like this is perhaps important. Again, we'll end this where we started. Back in 2019, the US government, on sources, had told the Foreign Policy magazine that there were no jets of the Pakistanis which had been lost in combat with the Indian Air Force a day after Balakot. This time around, they haven't responded to us, and we've been trying to get this for the last couple of months. They've only issued us this one basic statement. The US State Department, go to Pakistan and ask them about their F-16s. As you know, that's an answer, the truth, which will never emerge. Here's what the Indian Air Force Chief had said earlier on.
Shahbaz, their Jacobabad airfield, one of them again, a major airfield that was attacked. And here there's an F-16 hangar, which you can see here. And here this is the photograph again from open source, from one of their earlier picture of the same hangar. And here that hangar, which is one half of the hangar is gone. And I'm sure there were some aircraft inside which have got damaged there. So if I can just sum it up, what we were able to get there at least two command and control centers in like Murid and Chaklala that I have shown you one of the pictures, at least six radars, some of them big, some of them small, two SAGW system that is in Lahore and Okara, then of course runway at Sargodha and Rahimia Khan. Three hangars that we attacked. One was, of course, Sukur, the UAV hangar, the Bholari hangar of AEWNC, and Jacobabad, the F-16 hangar. And we have indication of at least one AEWNC in that AEWC hangar, and a few F-16s, which were under maintenance there. Apart from these, the SAGW systems, mostly from, I'm talking about fighter aircraft are from S-400. We have at least five fighters confirmed killed and one large aircraft, which could be either an LNT aircraft or an AWNC aircraft, which was taken out at a distance of about 300 kilometers. This is the actually largest ever recorded surface-to-air kill that we can talk about. And...
All right, so the United States quite clearly not willing to get into any statement on whether or not Pakistan has lost F-16 aircraft or the number of F-16 aircraft it's lost. Now, they could actually answer this question in 10 seconds flat because they actually know with their contractors on the ground. Joining us now, Air Marshal Khosla. Thanks very much, sir, for being with us. You've had a read at my story. And I think the key point over here is that there's a bit of a double standard. In 2019... the U.S. government was speaking on sources to journalists who were asking them questions on whether Pakistan had lost F-16 aircraft. This time around, they've said, just go ask Pakistan yourself, knowing fully well, I would suggest, that there's going to be no answer coming my way for that. Do you believe this actually strengthens India's argument that Pakistan has lost a significant number of F-16s?
Yeah, Vishnu, you mentioned Balakot. You know, even Balakot, and after that, a lot of defense analysts used to were of the opinion that because of the end-user monitoring by the U.S. and restrictions put by the U.S. for not utilizing these aircraft against any country without their consent, they will not use it against India. But I always maintain that they will use it. You know, when you buy a weapon or a platform or a system, I mean, you're not keeping it in your drawing room. When you get pushed against the wall, you will use it. I always believe that they will use it, and I don't think America will be able to stop them. And later on, they can deal with whatever restrictions or sanctions U.S. puts. That's how Balakot also, the F-16 was used. But this time, it is different. From both the sides, the number of aircraft damage in the air and ground are much, much more in number as compared to Balakot. And secondly, the U.S. stand is totally different, as you brought out rightly. In Balakot time, they defended that no F-16 was shot down, basically maybe to safeguard their economic interest of sale of F-16 to other countries. Whereas this time, they are maintaining a silence, and as you said, they are saying, ask Pakistan. So there is something more than what it meets the eye.
Air Marshal, it's also true, and I think the Air Chief Marshal made the point about Jacobabad. Now, you don't need to be a great military analyst to know that Jacobabad is a Pakistan Air Force base. You can open up Google Earth and you can look for images of F-16 aircraft over there. We now have this amazing Maxar image, a couple of images, and let's have that up on the screen as well, of the Jacobabad hangar struck by the Indian Air Force, probably a strike by BrahMos. And let's have that image up if we can. That actually is defining proof. Nothing would have survived that strike, right? Air Marshal, I mean, half that hangar has been blown apart.
Yeah, so if you see the images and the way the damage has taken place externally in the hangar, whatever inside must have had extensive damage. So whatever aircraft were there, like Air Chief also in his talk mentioned, that aircraft which were inside the hangar for maintenance must have suffered heavy damage. But Vishnu, I want to bring out something bigger. You know, there is something which is more, as I said, more than what it meets the eye. Some interest of US has been hit. Why I'm saying that is, you know, three, four reasons. Firstly, abrupt call for a ceasefire, you know, after those ground, after those attacks on the Pakistani airfields. Secondly, US claiming that, you know, they have orchestrated or been instrumental in the ceasefire. Anyway, that's not a major point. Also, if you see the stance taken by the US, suddenly there is a policy change. You know, they were warming up to India, you know, maybe to counterbalance China, whatever reasons. And suddenly after this, in the aftermath of Sindoor, they changed their stance totally. You know, they become pro-Pakistan. As you mentioned, Asim Munir twice has gone there. He's making some statements from there. And, you know, they've signed a deal about oil. And also anti-India statement by US that Pakistan may be selling oil to India. And now punishment, you know, to India by tariffs. So some interest of US has been hit, which has really riled them to take these steps.
Air Marshal, the fact that, you know, our chief has said absolutely clearly on record, and he says this with responsibility, it's not just a random claim, that we've shot down five Pakistani fighters and a sixth aircraft, which is a larger platform. It comes on the basis, obviously, of him having known what the radar tracks indicate. For the layperson out there, since there is no debris on the ground which has been filmed, how does the Indian Air Force know when they've got a kill from a surface-to-air missile system and when they've missed or when it's inconclusive?
You know, we have a very good integrated air defense which have fared very well in this war also. And it is fed, you know, it's networked totally. It is fed by ground radars as well as surface-to-air missile systems, their radars, acquisition as well as tracking radars, and also the AVACS. So all these platforms, they have, you know, when they pick up, and there are softwares available to, you know, analyze the data picked up by all these radars and synthesize the whole picture. And it also gives you the digital signature of the likely platform which is being picked up. And when you are having this picture, when you analyze, you can replay it any number of times. It's like, you know, VCR, you can go up and down in different modes and different spacing. You can analyze where the blip is vanishing, when the surface-to-air missile or air-to-air missile was fired, what is the trajectory, what will be the time taken, and the time the blip varies, and which blip is going. So by, you know, doing a deep analysis of these things, you can make out what sort of damage could have been done.
So you're basically triangulating data based on different sensors, using software to arrive at a conclusion, right? As a
Absolutely,
matter of
yeah.
And in your experience, Air Marshal, this is a very reliable tool. You obviously gauge hits and misses during practice all the time, right? And therefore, you're confident about your analysis based on what you've practiced and what you've trained for.
Yeah, absolutely. But like in the Air Chief's talk also, he did not give the full details, right?
Correct.
You know, it should not be given also. Exactly that which weapon and what type of aircraft was shot down, what are the numbers. That is all irrelevant in the sense like it is just for the analyst to, you know, talk about. But Vishnu, if you have time, I will give you a slightly bigger picture, which is, you know, not cause of worry, but we need to be on alert. The reason why I'm saying that is that, you know, Pakistan is getting encouraged. They already had the China support overt or covert. And now with US also supporting them in this way, you know, the two major powers supporting them, he can really get encouraged to do something very drastic. And he's already making statements like nuclear saber rattling, which you mentioned, you know, attacking India next time from the east with Bangladesh help, maybe in meaning that. And third is that we will, if you make the dam on IW to Indus Water Treaty, we will, you know, destroy it with missiles. So, you know, and he's a desperate man. So we need to keep our guard fully up.
No, I agree with you. Air Marshal, thanks. Wonderful speaking to you as always. Well, there you have it. You know, it's an important addition, this little piece of information that we've gathered. America not giving us a direct answer, telling us to ask Pakistan. That raises all sorts of questions on transparency, certainly in the American system. This is information I've been trying to get for a period of 2 months, even pushing a Freedom of Information Act in through the U.S. system. Didn't get any answer there. Didn't get any answer from the Pentagon. It's only now that the State Department has responded with this brief message. We leave it there. Thank you very much, sir, for being with us.
Thank you.
The U.S. President Donald Trump's decision to impose a whopping 50% tariffs on India, a strategic ally of the United States, has come as a surprise for many at a time when many believe that this could be indicative of a relationship which wasn't or isn't perhaps as hunky-dory as many expected it to be. Is there a change in the way this relationship is going? Joining us now for his views, the former U.S. National Security Advisor, John Bolton, one of America's finest diplomats. Thanks, sir, very much for being with us. First up, the entire tariff policy and its implications. Now, you've described President Trump's tariffs on India, particularly the 50% tariffs, including the 25% secondary tariffs over Russian oil purchases, as an enormous mistake. Why do you believe that these tariffs might undermine the strategic partnership between Washington and Delhi?
Well, first of all, I don't think the tariff assault that Trump is waging on the entire world makes any sense. I think there are obviously problems in international trade. I think China is the biggest problem. I think it discriminates against a lot of its partners, steals their intellectual property. If you want to deal with China, the smart thing to do is get your friends and allies together who are also victims and try and have a concerted policy, not declare war on everybody at the same time. I think it has been an American view across administrations that India has a lot of tariff and non-tariff barriers to trade with our closest friends. Up until Donald Trump, the approach was to try and get to zero tariffs, zero non-tariff barriers, zero subsidies. Hard to do, but that's the objective. Trump has rejected that, and I think it's a mistake, especially in the bilateral U.S.-India relationship. And on top of that, according to pretty reliable press reports, the Indian negotiators thought they were right on the verge of a deal with Trump. When he suddenly decided that the tariff would be 25% essentially unilaterally, which was an unnecessary insult, really, to India on Trump's part. Okay, so then on top of that, just to make things worse, because Trump had begun to run out of belief that he and Vladimir Putin were really friends and possible to make a ceasefire in Ukraine, he made his deadline and threats of additional tariffs against Russia, secondary tariffs against purchasers of Russian oil and gas, which now, looking back on it just a few weeks ago, has left India as the only country with any consequences for purchases of Russian oil and gas. Even Russia didn't get additional tariffs. Russia got a summit between Putin and Trump on American soil in what used to be Russian Alaska before we bought it from them. No tariffs, no secondary sanctions on China at all, despite it being a much bigger purchaser of Russian oil and gas than India or anybody else. So there's a lot here, a lot to unwrap. But the net of all this is that India is the one government that suffered from Trump's effort to get a ceasefire in Ukraine. It's completely backwards, and I don't need to explain to your audience just how damaging it is to advancing the U.S.-India relationship.
Ambassador Bolton, you warned that the tariffs could push Russia closer to Russia, India closer to Russia, possibly even China. But how do you assess the risk of India deepening ties with Moscow? Because that's something that the U.S. wouldn't look favorably upon in any case.
Well, I think that Russia will try and take advantage of this to try and keep India close, both on the sale of high-end military equipment and on continued purchase of oil and gas. I think, according to reports, Putin will be visiting India later this year for the first time in quite some time. And I think China will take the same approach. I understand they've invited Prime Minister Modi to go to Beijing. Now, I don't think any of this is irreversible. But I think when you make a mistake as big as the way the White House has ended up treating India over the past 30 days, it takes a long time to restore trust and confidence and really a belief in good faith. I think most Americans are stunned at what Trump has done on the tariff front and are beginning to appreciate not just the economic damage that this is causing, but the political and diplomatic damage as well.
Ambassador, you know, there's this changed relationship with Pakistan as well. The recent visits of the Pakistan Army Chief Asim Munir to the United States, you know, nuclear saber rattling by Munir from American soil. You know, India and Pakistan sort of slug it out on social media and have been issuing very strong statements against each other. That's one thing. But for Munir to make this on American soil, and the fact that he's met Trump for lunch in the not too distant past, does this indicate a renewed or a changed relationship between Islamabad and Washington?
I don't think so necessarily. I think it probably reflects General Munir and the Pakistani regime figuring out a better way to play Donald Trump, to appeal to him, to flatter him, as I think General Munir did in nominating him for a Nobel Peace Prize. I mean, this has nothing to do with key U.S.-Pakistani interests or the many issues that remain to be resolved. But it's a demonstration of how you deal with Donald Trump and his erratic behavior. So my only suggestion to Prime Minister Modi might be that he could offer to nominate Trump twice for a Nobel Peace Prize.
Well, at this stage, that might actually be an idea. Ambassador Bolton, you know, there's also been this difference on the U.S. role in Operation Sindoor, or at the end of it. That's when India and Pakistan, I use the word war because it was fairly intense for a period of 88 hours. Now, India has maintained that the ceasefire following this four-day military escalation, you know, was between India and Pakistan, and that Trump claims credit for ending it, whereas, you know, people I've spoken to very high in the government say that that's not the case at all. How do you interpret this basic discrepancy between what Delhi insists, right? When they said it's an India-Pakistan issue, Pakistan came to the ceasefire table, there was never any discussion of trade, whereas Trump said, look, I've gone and ended a potential nuclear conflict.
Well, this is part of Trump's campaign for a Nobel Peace Prize, and he will take credit for almost anything. He repeats it regularly. He has taken credit, for example, to ending a war between Serbia and Kosovo that nobody in Serbia or Kosovo thought they were fighting. I mean, there are obviously differences and tensions there, but not a war recently. So all I can say is he's not treating India any differently than he treats many, many others. He's not singling India out. But it's Donald Trump playing for Donald Trump. I mean, I was National Security Advisor during a somewhat similar terrorist attack in 2019, and we had conversations with senior officials in the government of India and the government of Pakistan. I don't know what our role was, if it made any difference or not, but we certainly wanted to try and be helpful. And the two governments ended up de-escalating again, as they've done more recently. So I think I don't want to criticize Trump for at least offering his services, but I also think it's obviously untenable to claim credit for something that the two governments worked out between themselves.
All right, Ambassador Bolton, great speaking to you. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts. Thanks very much indeed.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, that's all the time that we have on Left, Right and Center from all of us here. Good night.